Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, that he would be glorified in this message. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would bind my mouth where it needs to be bound and loosen it where it needs to be loosened, that words would be said, Lord. But most of all, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take those words and open up hearts and minds, and you would take that and just draw us nearer to you, Lord. That's our prayer, for your glory, and not for any of our glory, but for you to be made known. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lawrence Richard Walters, some of you might remember this story. Some of you, this will be the first time you ever heard of it. His nickname was Lawn Chair Larry. He was a truck driver, and he took a flight on July 2nd, 1982, in a homemade airship dubbed the Inspiration One. Walters had always dreamed of flying, so he purchased 45 8-foot weather balloons and acquired some helium. He attached the balloons to the lawn chair, filled them with helium, and put on a parachute. Smart man, right? Strapped himself into the chair in his backyard at 1633 West 7th Street in San Pedro. He also had with him in his possession a pellet rifle, a CB radio, some sandwiches, a 6-pack of beer, and a camera. When his friends cut the rope holding him down, the chair with him strapped in it climbed to 15,000 feet. I don't think he expected that. At first, he was scared to shoot a balloon. It was just, imagine that for a moment. He was afraid to shoot a balloon because he thought that it would become unbalanced and the chair would just spill him out of it. And slowly he drifted along to over Long Beach, California, and he got tied up into the primary approach for Long Beach Airport. Now, his friends on the ground and others were already in contact with the airport, and they were working it, but after about 45 minutes in the sky, he shot several of the balloons. And while he was doing so, he dropped his rifle. So he slowly drifted downwards until he got caught up in some power lines, which caused a 20-minute blackout in the neighborhood where he landed. And once caught up in the lines, he slowly got closer to the ground and he was able to get out, where he was promptly arrested by local police. He was famous for a little while. He even went out, I read, on a speaking tour afterwards, a motivational speaker. I share this story, and I have a question for you. Have you ever found yourself in a hopeless situation? Have you ever been overwhelmed by your circumstances? I'm sure when he cut those ropes and quickly ascended to 15,000, he was pretty overwhelmed by what was happening to him. There are times in our lives when we're overwhelmed in this life with suffering, circumstances that are beyond our control, money problems, family issues, family members that need our support and care. And we face these times in life because we all face them. I don't care who you are, it's just a matter of time before you face these kind of circumstances. What will become abundantly clear in the middle of this event is where your heart is. Where is your heart? You will find out really quick in circumstances. Deuteronomy 8:2 reminds the people of Israel. Moses is reminding the people of Israel that their time in the desert was thought in this way. He says, remember that the Lord your God led you on an entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness. And here's why. So that he might humble you and test you to know what your heart is, where your heart is, whether or not you'll keep his commands. In the same way, I think God allows for us to have times of testing in our lives to humble us and to see where our heart is. This morning, as we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, we'll read about Paul in prison, and we'll see where Paul's heart is. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open up to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. And as you're getting there, I'll read this. It says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and even dare to speak of the message fearlessly. Verse 12, when we read that, firstly, Paul says he wants the church to know what has happened to him. He wants them to understand his situation, but not in the way that you might think. He wants us in the church to know his focus. Reading this chapter, two thoughts that are occupying Paul's mind, and we can see them driving him here. The first one is one that we're familiar with and we've talked about several times. It's Philippians 1:6. Remember, it says this. It says, I am sure of this, that he who has started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So he has that in his mind. He's thinking about that God has started a work and God will see it through. He was thinking about where he's been, where the church has been. He knows and he's very confident that God has started a work in him, has started a work in his ministry, and it is God who will see it to completion. He is confident with that, and it drives him. You can see that he's very sure of what he's doing because he's seen this. This is despite human failure, despite not getting it right all the time, and despite evil hearts or bad intentions of others, God's plan will be carried through. God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 46:10, I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my will. Nothing's going to stop God from doing what God's going to do. Now, you can take great comfort in that, or you can be scared by that. I take great comfort in that, and knowing that even when I screw up, God's plan is going to be done. I do, because I don't always get it right. Do you get it right? We don't always get it right. But God works, and he's going to get it done. At the same time, knowing that God says what's going to happen is going to happen. You think you're going to get away with it, but in the end, he knows all your heart. He knows your intentions. He knows what he's going to do. The second thought is found in Philippians 1:20. And if you don't underline these two, if you underline two verses in this chapter in your Bible, I would underline 1:6 and I would underline 1:20. And 1:20 says this, my eager expectation and hope is that you will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ would be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. In this verse, Paul is trusting everything to the Lord. Right now and the future, whatever happens to Paul, no matter what he experiences, he wants everything to be done for the glory of God. He sees God working in the past, and he trusts that God is going to do in the future. Which brings us to the present for Paul. Looking at verse 12, I want you to see what isn't listed. Look at verse 12 again, and I want you to see what isn't listed. He didn't say, I'm in prison. He didn't say the conditions are terrible. He didn't say, I am poorly fed. He didn't say, I am chained to an armed guard and I am never alone. I'm waiting for a hearing that is going to most likely result in my death. Paul never mentions any of that, does he? Doesn't say that at all. Paul's not focused upon his circumstances, his suffering. He's thinking about something else. Paul doesn't see the world in the light of we look at everything, we get this tunnel vision of what is going on in our life and we get lost in it. He's not looking at it that way. He's seeing where God is at work. He sees his circumstances as a part of God's work. And he is greatly encouraged, and he wants the church and others to also be encouraged. That what he's going through is part of God's plan. That's how he sees it. Even though he can't fully grasp it, or at least we can't. He does, it seems. For him, suffering for the name of Christ was an honor, because Paul is looking at what God has done and what he continues to do, and he trusts God with his future. Rather, he lives or dies. Either way, if he dies, he's free. If he goes in and he sees the emperor and he says, you're free, he's free. Either way, Paul is free. That's how he sees it. Because he trusts God with his future and he wants to see Christ glorified in all things. Paul has placed all his hope in this reality and he is not ashamed. And what is the result of this attitude? What happens? What does it result in? And we can see it in the next verse. Paul sees the result of his imprisonment and his suffering and what he calls the advancement of the gospel. Or it's in the same verse. Paul is encouraged. People are encouraged by Paul and his action. And as a result, others are spreading the gospel. We have to be mindful that whatever situation that we find ourselves in is an opportunity to advance the gospel. No matter what it is, you might be sitting here today thinking, there is no way God could use this. And he will. It might be simply, and I use this illustration all the time, I got cancer a few years ago, and it opened up a door for me to talk to people I could never talk to before. Because now I understand cancer in a whole new way, and I can have a conversation with somebody. Maybe you're going through someone with a loved one, and all of a sudden now that's going to open a door for you to talk to other people who have gone through something similar. And you don't think that God will use that? He's going to place those people in your life, because now you know. And you learned how to rely upon God, and he's going to use it. Here's the theme. People are watching how you react to any and all circumstances. And lastly, God is never going to waste an opportunity to grow your faith and to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will never waste an opportunity. And he sees all the things that we go through as opportunity to grow in faith and to advance the gospel. I don't care what it is. He does. Verse 13, everyone who came in contact with Paul knew his cause. Many in the imperial guard had been with Paul when he was under house arrest, and they watched him minister to people who came to see him. And now they saw him as he was getting closer to his time, and he was moved to more like a prison cell type environment. They saw how he was in that environment. And he was consistent. He had to be, because the whole imperial guard was talking about him. He had shared his faith with each one chained to him, without a doubt. I don't doubt that whatsoever. In fact, Paul's cause was known throughout the whole imperial guard itself. Paul was being guarded by the very best soldiers that Rome had to offer. They were not just any soldier. Not anyone could just be part of the imperial guard. They were carefully selected, and they were paid very well. Everyone wanted to be a part of the guard because you were closest to the emperor. And if you know anything about these guys, there was even a couple emperors, they took matters into their own hands and got rid of them and appointed someone else. That's how important these guys were and how powerful they were. And yet, it was these guys that was closest to Paul that he had a huge influence on them. These were respected men, and we understand, they understood Paul's cause was unique, and maybe they were impressed. Maybe they were even, they saw his confidence and his passion, or maybe they even just thought he was crazy. And I'm sure some of them did. But he was so bold and so convincing. But nonetheless, they understood the reason he was in chains was for the cause of Christ. He made that abundantly clear. Not just the guards understood this, but Paul's cause had been known to everyone. Everyone knew why Paul was in chains, and that had a profound effect upon the church and everyone else around him. In verse 14, we can see the impact of that. Through Paul's sat in chains for Christ, imprisoned and restricted, the gospel had been set free. How many times have you watched somebody and you're afraid to say something? You're afraid to do something because you don't know what will happen. And then all of a sudden, someone goes out and does that very same thing, and they see big changes happen. It was a positive thing. It was an amazing thing. And all of a sudden, now you want to be a part of that, right? The things that was holding you back is fear before. Now you're set free to do it because you see it can be done. It couldn't be done before. Like, I'm thinking about the Wright brothers. Nobody could fly. Everybody was trying, but they couldn't. All of a sudden, somebody got off the ground for 30 feet for only 8 seconds, but the whole world was changed because someone dared to do it. And Paul's case is no different. Here, everybody was deathly afraid, literally, of the whole Roman Empire, and especially the imperial guards. And here is Paul in the middle of them preaching Christ. Do you think that would free the man out on the street or the woman in the church to preach the gospel? If Paul can do it, we can do it. Paul and the members of the church became passionate about the Word of God. And they had been inspired by Paul and his chains. Others gained confidence. Paul was witnessing and sharing boldly, and there was, with courage in the face of the most dire and difficult situations, others looked to his example and followed his lead, and they too became emboldened and confident in sharing regardless of the consequences. To speak the word, the message of Christ-centeredness, to live, this idea of living for Christ, even in this day, and recognize Christ as Lord, that he is God in flesh, who walked among us, who lived the perfect life. To think about that, to declare Christ Lord in your life, is to strike a blow to the proud heart. It still does today. To recognize nothing exists that exist without Christ, that everything finds its place in Him and is sustained by Him, for Him, and through Him. To recognize that, to bow down to that, to submit to that. To do so outside the confines of the church, because in this room it's easy to say amen, isn't it? Because it's a safe place. Even if we're amongst our friends in our homes, it's easy to declare these things. But go do the same thing in Safeway or anywhere. You'd hesitate, wouldn't you? Even in a free country, why is that? Because outside your circle of Christian friends and family and church setting, it takes courage to be bold for Christ. In some parts of the world today, we know that it'll even get you killed. Paul wasn't focused on his situation or his circumstances that he found himself in. Paul was focused upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, the same gospel that changed everything in his life. It gave him meaning and purpose that he never had before. In a profound way, where he started to think about all his education and all the things that he had done before as rubbish compared to living for Christ. Paul was focused upon the gospel of Christ. He lived and breathed for the purpose of God's glory through his Son, for which he was saved by grace. Changed everything for him. This morning, many of you are facing difficult times. You have families to care for. You have lost family members. In my own family, we've lost a father-in-law just 2 weeks ago. Life circumstances have weighed you down. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to look to Paul's example. Looking back, remembering where God has brought you so far. How He has walked with you, and He has sometimes even carried you. Think about the work that has been started in you, and despite your many failures, maybe you didn't live up to the standard, but God is still working actively in your life. Even through bad intentions of others, circumstances, God carries out His work in you. Think about Christ, who endured the cross with joy. He humbled Himself, died, and was buried, and on the third day rose again. He did this because of love, in order that you may know the living God. In Christ, there is nothing we face that is eternal. Not on this earth. Everything is temporary. We're waiting for the day when we come into His presence. Jesus sets us free to live for something greater. He sets us free by something outside of ourselves and allows us to live for a greater glory. Thus we can echo Paul's words when he says, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ would be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Life is full of challenges, and God doesn't waste an opportunity in order to grow your faith. He never will. I know for some of us, we wish He would, but He won't. He won't. You're praying to get out of something, and He's going to walk with you through it, but He's not going to take it from you. He's just not, because you can grow. You can grow. Think about the times when you struggle the hardest is the times you grow the most, and that though you didn't like going through it, if you wouldn't have gone through it, you wouldn't be where you're at. Period. You had to go through it. And God uses those times and He turns that into something glorious. He always is faithful. And to this end, he's always faithful to use that to raise everything up in it for his glory in your life, in my life. And he does this even when we're faithless. He does it, which is an amazing thought to me. And it's so free to live for Christ. God has placed people around you. And as you go through difficult times, I promise they're going to watch. They're watching you in your day-to-day life. And they're especially going to watch you close when you suffer. I promise you that. At the very same time, other Christians are watching you. And they're going to see your example. And they're going to be inspired to be bolder in their faith by what you, how close you follow Christ in those moments. This is why the koinonia is so important, the partnership in Christ, the partnership that we share in grace, why the partnership in the gospel is so important. We are all connected, and that is why we have to lift one another up, encourage one another, support each other, and love one another, because it is through this we get through difficult times. And mainly, God is honored and glorified, and the gospel is advanced. We are not in this alone, and we are to depend on each other, and those especially in the church. We're to be here for each other. Paul knew this, and he was thinking about this and how his circumstances was going to impact others. He was careful in the words that he chose when he wrote the letter of Philippians, because he said it was for the advancement of the gospel. He was always mindful of the gospel of Christ. He kept him always before him. He didn't allow his situation to deter him, but was determined to use it for God's glory. In doing so, Paul inspired everyone around him and the church at large. He drew strength from this, as others were emboldened by his example. This should be the goal of us all: to glorify God in all things and to be used by God to inspire others. To love God, we learned this morning about the law, how Christ came to fulfill the law. To love God and to love who? Our neighbors, others. To love God and to love others. This should be the goal of all of us. And by doing so, we'll advance the gospel together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the opportunities that you present us, Lord, even though there are times when we are totally weighed down by those circumstances that overwhelm us. Lord, I pray that for those who are in the midst of those circumstances, Lord, that right now they would think about what God has done in their lives and the work that he has started in them and the work that he will complete in you. And I pray, Lord, that they would keep their eyes upon the gospel of Christ, for which we are all partners in, and that everything that we do and say, whether it's in life or death, would be for the glory of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray now that if there's anybody here that has never put their faith in Christ, I pray this morning as we stand and sing together that you would move in their hearts. Lord, as we pray, as we sing, let our hearts be one, Lord. And let those who don't know Christ see that and let it move them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.